Hey, it's Lisa Carlin from Attacking Third to tell you about the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. It's equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend. The Hyundai Santa Fe features available all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, plus available dual wireless charging pads, ensuring that you can take on any adventure. It's ski season, and with the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, I can easily load the car with all my gear plus my friends in the third row and make it right to the base of the slopes with all-wheel drive. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Attacking Third, a CBS Sports soccer podcast. I'm Sandra Herrera, lead NWSL writer for CBS Sports, joined today, as always, by my colleague and co-host Lisa Roman, broadcaster and analyst for CBS Sports. On today's segment, we have Attacking Third's Challenge Cup Best 11 and MVPs. Before we take a deep dive into who we thought broke out of the Challenge Cup, a quick reminder to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok for all news and updates at Attacking Third. Subscribe to us on YouTube for NWSL extended highlights at youtube.com/attackingthird. Lisa, we've got to put Challenge Cup to bed. It's officially over. We have a new Challenge Cup champion with North Carolina Courage, but we want to chat a little bit more about, you know, maybe who stood out across the three region groups, maybe put together a best 11 and talk about that a little bit in line with what is likely going to be discussed over the course of the news cycle. And folks are going to have their opinions about who should be in the best starting 11 for Challenge Cup and so on and so forth. And we're like, you know what? We're a part of that conversation too. We're going to talk about it today.
Of course we're part of that conversation. We love to give our two cents and pick players, really dissect who did well, who performed consistently, who played games, because there was yellow card accumulation that led players to be out for certain games. And there was injuries that happened and a lot of different changes and international break thrown in the middle there of the Challenge Cup as well. But this was pretty fun to create with you and really look at each team individually, at the players that they put together, and not just the four teams that made it to the semifinal, but all 12 NWSL clubs, the personnel they had, and see how the team grew throughout the Challenge Cup, because that's really the most important part. And we're doing this, and of course, the regular season has started, and the Challenge Cup has concluded. Now it's just regular season moving forward, but reflecting on these games, I had to remind myself, like, oh, that player had a breakout performance in a regular season game. We're going to separate those, despite the crossover. We're separating them.
It happens. Yeah. I mean, I think one of the, part of the fun challenge in this is the fact that it was kind of a quick tournament. It was something that took place ahead of the regular season. There was the overlap in that first week there, but it forced us to go back and maybe kind of take a look and look at some highlights and take a look at some numbers and cross-reference some things. But I like what we've ended up settling on for this one. But before we get into the results of who we selected, where and why, we've got a little bit of news and notes to discuss with everybody before we put Challenge Cup to rest. Some updates for player injury side of things. As many folks know, infamously on the Challenge Cup final during that second half, there were a number of players sustaining some injuries due to some fatigue or otherwise within those second half minutes of the Challenge Cup final. But Caroline went out and kind of put an update on social media, said that it's ultimately a sprained ankle that she sustained in the Challenge Cup final. So I think there's a little bit of a breath of relief in that one. I think for folks who sort of got introduced to this player via the Challenge Cup, right, and who she is and what she can bring on the pitch. So we'll be out for a few weeks, is what she mentioned in this update from her own personal channels. And that was exciting to see, because I think it's early in this regular season, Lisa. Mm-hmm. So I think a player like this just saying like, hey, I'm going to be out for a few weeks, I think a FIFA. I think most of us are pretty happy that it's nothing worse, you know?
Yes, yes. And even from the video of the slide tackle, it could have been a lot worse. I mean, you never know in those types of situations. The one positive was Caroline stood up and was able to walk after the fact. A little bit of a limp, but that was a little bit telling of how serious this injury was going to be. And a sprained ankle, not the greatest thing in the world, but also not the worst thing. She'll be back before we know it. But it is good to get a little bit of response out of North Carolina and Caroline about what she's dealing with right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously the biggest one was with the Jordan Baggett, scary scenes towards the end of the match in stoppage time specifically. But Jason Anderson reporting that on the same day of the Challenge Cup final, that Baggett was ultimately released from the hospital and in good spirits. So that was another bit of, I think, a breath of fresh mm-hmm. air for folks to sort of read or hear or learn about, and kind of perhaps, you know, after the very scary collision that it was, to know that the player was discharged ultimately within the same day from the hospital, I think was better news in light of sort of the scenes that were coming out of that. So a couple of updates from the final there. We're going to maybe talk a little bit before we get into full NWSL Challenge Cup awards here. We want to chat a little bit about the FAWSL, because we are going to be the home of FAWSL very, very soon. You can catch games on Paramount Plus beginning this summer. And of course, I'm so excited to talk about this, because anytime we get a chance to talk about the Blues, I'm here for it. But Chelsea FC winning the FA Women's Super League again, their third straight season, with a win 4-2 over Manchester United. Scenes from this match, Lisa, as Chelsea went ahead and got the victory.
Huge scenes. I mean, Sam Kerr is so fun to watch. She becomes the first ever WSL player to score over 20 goals in back-to-back seasons. Tremendous. She ends up netting the fourth goal in this one that really sealed the deal for Chelsea at the end of this game. And it was a pretty great goal. I know it's on our Attacking Third Twitter, so go check that out if you haven't seen it. But fun to watch Chelsea for sure. And Sam Kerr.
Doing a madness. Like the highlight on that goal specifically, just the body control and presence of mind. First player in FAWSL to score those 20 plus goals in back-to-back seasons, you mentioned. And it's just it's a delight to watch. It's sort of like, I know for us, like maybe stateside, having seen Sam Kerr and be able to do what she does in NWSL action. And this is a player that won multiple Golden Boot titles here in the United States. So we're not unfamiliar with the fact that Sam Kerr can rack him up, but there's something about watching this player kind of go from continent to continent to continent and just continue to evolve her game and, quite frankly, take over things like offensive. So you're talking about a player that is won and put up goals in Australia's W League, NWSL, and now in Europe with Chelsea and FAWSL. It's incredibly impressive. And for a third straight season, winners once more. I know head coach M. Hayes has to be thrilled with the performance from her club. So congrats to Chelsea. Love to see it. Let's move on into NWSL Challenge Cup. We are going to go through some different segments here for everyone. We're going to start off with the Challenge Cup MVP. So we're talking about the player that we think had the best overall tournament throughout the duration of the Challenge Cup. And when we were going back and forth and a handful of players here, I think we settled down to two, and we decided to award the Challenge Cup MVP to Debinha of North Carolina Courage. Outstanding. I'm talking about just from the minute she was able to get onto this pitch. She's a player that you would look at for North Carolina Courage and just sort of have circled, I think. Mm-hmm. And you just know that this is a player that you're going to want to try to target if you're the opposition, try to limit their impact on the pitch. But that wasn't the case so much. We saw North Carolina Courage break on through to the Challenge Cup final, go ahead and lift that cup. And a huge part of it was because of the performances that Debinha was putting in on the pitch for North Carolina Courage. 5 goals for her in this Challenge Cup tournament over 7 games. And yeah, I think at the end, lifting up the hardware that counts towards the end of this tournament, I think kind of goes without saying, getting an assist in that Challenge Cup final as well. So it was a delight to watch her play during this tournament.
It was huge. I mean, this we did have some discussion about who it was going to be, but there was it's really easy to make a case for Davinia as this MVP of the Challenge Cup, because even when you look at North Carolina and the attacking players that they lost in the offseason, it was up to Davinia to step up and take control of this Courage team and not just dominate the midfield, but also in the attack, provide more attacking presence than she's ever had to before, because there really wasn't that many lethal threats in front of her in the front line for North Carolina. And that's exactly what she did, netting 5 goals and just being such a pest in the midfield for opponents to handle and being a leader on this team, despite losing Casey Murphy in goal for North Carolina. That's also like a bit of a rally around that yep. Davinia needed to encourage, and then having some injuries along the back line with certain players coming in and out and rotating through. And then also with Caroline stepping in throughout this Challenge Cup, I know that Caroline leaned a lot on Davinia to not only be her translator on the pitch, but also bring her up to speed about what the NWSL is all about. And we saw a different look from Davinia in not just being a tremendous player for herself, but being a team player and a team leader throughout this Challenge Cup. So a huge, huge nod to Davinia for her efforts throughout the Challenge Cup.
Yeah, I know we went back and forth, and I think we boiled it down to about 2 players in this category. And we thought the player that could also maybe both contend for this title here on Attacking Third that we're giving is maybe Trinity Rodman, quite frankly. We're looking at Davinia and going through the 7 games, scoring the 5 goals, notching the assist, creating, 13 chances. But we're looking at Trinity Rodman as well, and the team falling just short as the Washington Spirit were unable to go ahead and find an equalizer and push things to maybe a penalty shootout and see what could have happened there. But runners up of the Challenge Cup. So Trinity Rodman posting up 8 matches for her Challenge Cup tournament, recording 4 goals, 3 assists, 21 chances created for this player in this Challenge Cup. But we were also equally impressed with her her defensive rate work rate within this Challenge Cup tournament as well. So that we tried to make the case for Rodman as well, but we just gave the edge to Davinia and how she can kind of turn it on in those big game moments and really kind of stand out a little bit. So credit to both the players and the tournaments that they had in this Challenge Cup.
Of course, and because Davinia, we chose her over Trinity Rodman. It's almost because if Rodman didn't have an incredible Challenge Cup, Washington Spirit still would have been okay. And they still probably would have made it to the postseason and the semifinals. And Rodman, a huge contributor of that. But there are also so many other lethal players for Washington Spirit. But Davinia, she took North Carolina on her back and said, I'm going to make this team as best as it can be and really turn it around. And that's what we saw. I mean, both of these players, just a tremendous Challenge Cup. But yeah, we're giving the nod to Davinia in this one for sure.
Let's expand things a little bit here for the Challenge Cup. We're putting together a Challenge Cup best starting 11. And we had a little bit more fun with this one, quite frankly, because you get more positions to look at. You get to, again, make more cases for folks. And just to let people know and the inside workings of what we were doing in terms of the content planning, we wanted to make sure that when we were looking at a potential best 11 for the Challenge Cup, we wanted to look at players who had at least 5 matches under their belt within this 2022 Challenge Cup. And we were taking a look at different numbers and different stat lines throughout each one. And we're looking at a goalkeeper, 4 defenders, 3 midfielders, and 4 forwards in this one. So let's start with what we love best, which is defense. Lisa, let's take a look at the goalkeeper position. It was unanimous. Lisa and I had the least amount of discussion when it came to selecting a player in the best Challenge Cup starting 11 for the goalkeeper position. We are going with Fallon Tullis-Joyce, 7 games in net for OL Reign. 24 saves, 5 goals against, an 82.8 save percentage. We were just very impressed with this player. I mean, and you can maybe even make a case for the Reign that this was their breakout player, which we'll get into a little later. But we had little discussion about her being in the goalkeeper position. Let's take a look at maybe some defenders. Lisa, you want to take those?
I love this. Yeah, I mean, Fallon Tillis-Joyce holding down between the sticks in goal for our best 11. And then across the back line, we have Carson Pickett out of North Carolina Courage, Abby Erceg, also out of the Courage, Alana Cook out of OL Reign, and Sophia Huerta out of OL Reign. This one was also pretty easy for us to decide. It's interesting when we put the team tags on there, 2 from Courage and 2 from OL Reign. But defensively, these two teams just did so well with limited goals against throughout the Challenge Cup and the consistency in their play that they were able to do. And between Huerta and Pickett, their ability to also contribute in the attack and get down the flank and create chances for their teams with the versatility that they provide while also being really good lockdown 1v1 defenders. We had a little bit more discussion about the defensive side because we do love defense and there are so many good players to choose from, but these 4 definitely bubbled to the top pretty quickly. We're also going to give a little bit of off the bench subs coming in our best 11. So it's not quite a best 11. We're expanding it a little bit because we have to. We can't just pick 11 players out of all these 12 teams. So Megan Klingenberg out of Portland Thorns, this was a player that, despite playing 3 in the back and considerably that wing back position defensively, Megan Klingenberg had a fantastic Challenge Cup for Portland. And then Alex Luera, the rookie for Kansas City Current. She started in the center back role. She moved higher up the pitch into a defensive 6 midfield role. But defensively, Luera was a really, really good player despite being a first year in the league, a rookie, and on a team that finished last in 2021 and ultimately at Kansas City ended up winning the Central Region. So these 6 players overall, but mainly Pickett, Erceg, Cook, and Huerta, they were our defenders for this best 11.
I love it. I loved chatting about who we're going to slide into the back line there. And I'm happy with Pickett, Erceg, Kirk, and Huerta for that one. For the midfield, we, of course, are placing Debinha. We told ourselves, listen, we can't give Debinha the Challenge Cup MVP and not have her in the best 11. So we've got Debinha, Ashley Sanchez, Denise O'Sullivan to round out the midfield here for the best 11 in the 2022 Challenge Cup. And we're looking at potentials coming off of the bench a little bit. We expanded that once more because, again, there were some really impressive midfielders during this Challenge Cup. And we kept a close eye on a player like Hina Sugita. We think that she really did some really good stuff for the Portland Thorns, really kind of slotting in into what we have been referring to as a Lindsey Horan-sized hole. I mean, that is a massive player to try to slot in for. Mm-hmm. But we're starting to see during this Challenge Cup and now into the regular season what she is going to become for this Portland Thorns side. So we have her coming off of the bench as an option. But, of course, players like Rose Lavelle and June Endo as well that we were equally impressed with during this Challenge Cup. And it's hard to read off these names and know that there are not going to be these type of players that are maybe going to be named to the best starting 11s in these.
I know, exactly. I mean, this midfield was really hard to do. And we did decide we were going to do a 4-3-3, which limits our midfield options. But Debinha, Sanchez, and Denise O'Sullivan. Denise O'Sullivan, I was so impressed with her play throughout the Challenge Cup. She played every minute for North Carolina. And usually in the past, we've seen Denise O'Sullivan be such a attacking presence, and she had to take on much more of a defensive role because playing alongside Debinha and Caroline up front, they could control a lot of the attack and they had a lot of freedom to roll, which made Denise O'Sullivan have to stay a little bit more compact and maybe not play as free as she would have liked to, but she fell into that role seamlessly. I was really impressed with O'Sullivan. But we get to talk about our forwards and our front line. This was hard, Sandra. We had a lot of discussion going back and forth about which front 3 we needed to have in our best 11. Ashley Hatch, she led the Challenge Cup in goals scored. Trinity Rodman, also in our front line. And out of Houston, Maria Sanchez, 3 assists, 1 goal for Houston. Houston only had 3 assists throughout the Challenge Cup. And Maria Sanchez, knocked them all. She got all three of them, which is so incredibly impressive. Probably could have been a number of more with the chances that she created and sending crosses into the box. This front three, I would love to see them play together. That probably won't ever happen, but this is a really fun three to watch between Hatch and Rodman out of Washington and then Sanchez. And then we had three honorable mentions, three forwards coming off the bench out of Kansas City, current Kristen Hamilton, Sophia Smith out of Portland Thorns, and Mallory Pugh out of Chicago Red Stars. Hamilton, a player that can just turn it on, score goals for Kansas City when they're looking down, really helped Kansas City win out that region. Sophia Smith had a great run in Portland, and Mallory Pugh, it's a shame she got injured towards the end of this Challenge Cup, because that would have changed a lot of things for Chicago and for everything else. But Mallory Pugh, man, this player can play. We saw so many growth throughout the Challenge Cup games that she did play.
Yeah, it's so, like, again, it's so wild to sort of think about how we wanted to set a little bit of criteria for ourselves, but not kind of restrict ourselves so much. So we thought, you know, yeah, let's do like a 5-game minimum. Let's take a look at, you know, overall the Challenge Cup. And it's just, it's tough when you're looking at some of these individual performances and slotting them in there. Like, it's wild to me that a player like Smith and Pugh might not be on the radar for the best 11 because of how the remainder of the Challenge Cup might have went outside of the group stage.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
But that is also why we said we wanted to do regional MVPs. We're looking at multiple MVPs across all 12 clubs based on the region that they played out of. So let's take a look at our best MVPs of the three regions. Let's start off in the West, Lisa. For OL Reign, shocking, we're going with Fallon Tullis Joyce of OL Reign out of the West region. For Portland Thorns, we're going with Sophia Smith. For San Diego Wave FC, we're going with Kaylin Sheridan. And for Angel City FC, we're going with a defender in Jasmine Spencer. Listen, when we're looking at these four teams, we have three players who are in defensive positional areas. And you know how much I'm excited by that, Lisa. But I'm happy with our picks here. I think when we're looking at these teams and just sort of their one-off and looking at their performances within the Challenge Cup, coming out of the West, OL Reign making it to the semifinal, but Portland Thorns were in the mix, kind of had to come down to that final group stage. And unfortunately, due to some COVID protocols and player availability, they ended up dropping that last game and were unable to advance into the Challenge Cup semifinal knockout rounds. So unable to defend their 2021 Challenge Cup title. So just falling short possibly getting that best second seed overall. But really impressed with Sophia Smith, as we've talked about a little bit, out of this Portland Thorn side. But in terms of what we've got here, Lisa, in front of us, is there any one of these four that you think should be the actual number one MVP of the West region?
I think we have to go Fallon Tullis Joyce because she's our goalkeeper in our best 11. I mean, this was tricky because this West region had a lot of spread out talent, if that makes sense. Like, not, there wasn't so many players that stood out as every single game in the Challenge Cup, they were game changers in what was happening, because between the two expansion sides in San Diego and Angel City, the progression over the Challenge Cup is really what was so impressive. And so we, when we look at Angel City and a player like June Endo, who had a really good Challenge Cup, but it also took her a few games to get her footing underneath of her. And it took Angel City as a club a few games before they were actually keeping possession of the ball, stringing passes together. And same goes for San Diego Wave. They needed time to click and come together. So that's why Kaylin Sheridan, goalkeeper out of San Diego, stood out, because this was a consistent player. She kept San Diego in a lot of games with her tenacious goal-saving ability, shot-stopping, her possession of the ball, being able to play out of the back with her feet. And then a player like Jasmine Spencer out of Angel City, who is a forward, listed as a forward, and the lack of depth for Freya Coombe in Angel City allowed Spencer to slot into the back line and pretty seamlessly. If you watched her play throughout the Challenge Cup, you weren't saying this player used to be a forward and now they're playing in the back, because her 1v1 defending was impressive. It was really good to see. So those players for sure stuck out. And then with Sophia Smith scoring goals for Portland Thorns, but I honestly think Fallon Tillis-Joyce had to play against a lot of tough competition as someone that has never played in the league before. And honestly, no one really knew who Tillis-Joyce was before this NWSL season came 100%. In. And after the first 2 weeks, everyone was talking about her. And that's an MVP. That's someone that makes a difference in their team, in their region, and in their league. So I go Fallon Tillis-Joyce.
I'm with you 100%. I can't add anything to that. I'm with you. I think if we're looking at these four clubs out of the West region, if there's one overall MVP out of the West, got to look at Fallon Tillis-Joyce. My biggest thing with Fallon Tillis-Joyce was those first couple of games. Mm-hmm. And I think when you can make an impression that quickly, that early, and not fall off, because it's easy to say it's early, things will shake out or even out or level out. That didn't happen. She introduced herself to so many different eyeballs in this league during the Challenge Cup and kept it on there all the way through the semifinals in this Challenge Cup. So I'm with you 100%. When we're looking at the West, Fallon Tillis-Joyce. When we're looking at the Central region, Lisa, let's take a look at the clubs who went head-to-head in the Central region and name off our MVPs. For Kansas City Current, we're going with Kristen Hamilton. Chicago Red Stars, we're going with Alyssa Nair. Racing Louisville, we're going with Lauren Millay. And Houston Dash, we're going with Maria Sanchez. I like these. And you know what? The Central region was a region that we held dear and near to our hearts when we were going over any previewing or recaps during the Challenge Cup group stage, Lisa. We appreciated what they were presenting out there on the pitch and keeping things interesting all the way through the games of Challenge Cup group stage. But in terms of what we're looking at here across these four teams, look, we've got a goalkeeper once more leading the team in MVP and Alyssa Nair for Chicago Red Stars. I mean, we're going back and forth, I think, a little bit through between her and Mallory Pugh. But I think the overall amount of games and the sort of improvement that we saw from the Chicago Red Stars in terms of their defensive shape was kind of what sealed it for us a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I also think we need to talk a little bit about maybe the teams that didn't, you know, have that type of Challenge Cup that they wanted to have. Teams like Racing Louisville, Houston Dash. When we're looking at these two teams and going with a player like Lauren Millay sticks out a little bit for us, I think.
It does. I mean, Racing Louisville struggled with a lot of consistency throughout this Challenge Cup. So, we looked at players that played consistent games and consistent minutes in games. And in instances of teams like OL Reign and Racing Louisville that had a lot of balanced scoring, meaning there wasn't one player that ran away with five or six goals throughout this Challenge Cup. And Lauren Millay, a player that played in six games. She had a number of minutes for this club. She created six chances and led the team with those six chances created, but notched away one goal. Lauren Millay, a player that it really contributes on both sides of the ball. Despite creating six chances, her defensive efforts as a forward and a player that is on the wing for Racing Louisville to track back and defend against players like Kristen Hamilton and Maria Sanchez shows a lot about this player and her tenacity. With Kim Bjorkegren at Racing Louisville, his big focus is on the attacking side of the ball and wanting to get that first touch forward and possess the ball, moving it forward. And Lauren Millay is a player that really tried to do that throughout the Challenge Cup. There wasn't always immense success with that, but with taking chances and being a little bit more unpredictable in the attacking end, it comes with risks. And we saw Lauren Millay taking those risks. And for me, that's an MVP status as someone who's willing to go out of her comfort zone, the team's comfort zone, to take risks, create chances for her team, and help them get goals, get wins, and get shutouts throughout the Challenge Cup. So Lauren Millay, a very good player from Racing Louisville that deserved our MVP pick here. When we look at Houston Dash, Maria Sanchez, this was a good pick. I mean, we were expecting big things from her coming in back to Houston. She did a stint with them last year and she contributed in the attack on the left side of the field. Get her stacked up 1v1. She'll beat that defender and whip an incredibly beautiful ball. So textured, great pace, curling towards the back post into the box. And the Houston Dash runners weren't always there on the end of those crosses, but Sanchez always did the work and she could get out of like three defenders on top of her, spin away from it and send crosses in. It was impressive to watch Sanchez.
Yeah, for sure. I think when I'm looking at the central, I'm impressed with Lauren Millay. I'm impressed with Maria Sanchez, you know, considering the struggles that maybe Racing and Houston went through throughout the duration of their Challenge Cup. But if I'm keying in on an MVP for this central region, I think I'm looking at Kristen Hamilton, a player who stepped up huge for this Kansas City side in light of this team continuing to lose pieces along the way. And not just any old regular player. We're talking about players in Lynn Williams and in Sam Mewis, and ultimately seeing someone else step up in someone like Kristen Hamilton. And also noting, we talked about Alex Loera a little bit at the top during the best 11, but obviously Elise Bennett is included in that conversation as well in terms of players who kind of had to step in light of the opportunity in front of him. So congrats to Kristen Hamilton, our MVP out of the Central overall. For the East region, let's round things out here to close out the episode. North Carolina Courage, we're going with the Binya. We've been saying her name a lot in this episode, and we were going to keep doing that for the remainder of it. MVP for us coming out of the East region. We're looking at Washington Spirit. We're going with Ashley Sanchez. Gotham FC, we're going to be going with Caprice Didasco and Orlando Pride, Gunny John's daughter, to close out the East region. There were a number of players, I think, when we were going through, again, with North Carolina Courage and Washington Spirit, trying to make the case, like, who's really going to be the MVP of these teams out of the East region? And I think settling in on a Davinia for the Courage or settling in on someone like a Sanchez for the Spirit maybe says a little bit about the competitiveness and sort of the extended talent pool that exists between those two teams. But when we're looking at maybe the teams, again, struggling a little bit in this region, when we're looking at a Gotham FC, when we're looking at an Orlando Pride, we ended up going with Didasco for Gotham FC in this one, Lisa.
We did. This was a tricky one. I mean, Gotham struggled throughout the Challenge Cup. So finding a player that was consistently making a difference, we really had to look defensively because that's where Gotham had the most consistency throughout this Challenge Cup, because their attack was inconsistent, to say the least. So Caprice Didasco, she led the team with minutes played and created chances with 7. She was tied for first, and she led the team with touches, 455 touches. So she gets on the ball and she creates with it. She gets down the flank and contributes into the attack. So attacking wise, Caprice Didasco is it for Gotham. She creates those chances and she sends crosses in, but defensively, she can really establish organization in that back line and in front of goalkeepers, in front of Ashlyn Harris, and then alongside Allie Krieger. There was a lot of changes happening at Gotham, and Didasco was a consistent factor defensively for this team heading from 2021 into the 2022 Challenge Cup. So Didasco for sure gets this nod for us. And then I think Orlando Pride, we have to take a deeper look at Gunny Onsdotter, because Orlando Pride went through a lot of different changes, and Sydney LaRue dealt with a bit of an injury, and that opened up a lot of space for someone to take control of games. And Jan's daughter is typically a quieter player in that if you're not paying intense notice to Jan's daughter, you're not going to typically be like, wow, player of the match, because her touches are so quick. She just keeps the ball moving and she's not a really flashy player. But due to the number of injuries that Orlando faced and the number of inexperienced players that they had together as a group and with the new head coach in the NWSL, Amanda Cromwell, it was Jan's daughter that stepped up and said, I can change this team. She was able to get 2 goals in her 6 games played for Orlando. But between Gotham and Orlando, those were probably the teams that we really had to look at as to which players made the most differences, despite not as a team, not having the best Challenge Cup performance.
Yeah, I'm with you 100% on that. I loved going through each of these regions and sort of picking out an MVP that we thought was for each of the 12 clubs throughout. Challenge Cup was over before we knew it, Lisa, and now here we are officially putting the closing chapter, shutting the book, saying let's look ahead to the regular season. It was fun though while we were able to cover it.
So who do you pick for the East region as your number one?
When I'm looking at the East region, when we're looking at Dibinha, we're looking at Sanchez, we're looking at Didasco and John's daughter, we chose Dibinha for the overall tournament MVP. And I guess maybe that's the easy or safe pick in this one. But for the sake of being a little different, I think I'm going to go with Ashley Sanchez in this one. I liked her versatility for down the stretch. That's what I think is going to be a little bit of the difference maker for me. The Spirit making an adjustment toward in that final and having Sanchez kind of maybe play a little bit of a lower role for the Spirit in terms of trying to combat a little bit of what they were going to be seeing against the Courage in that final. But honestly, overall in her Challenge Cup, equally as impressive as the other parts of the attacking front line that we've seen from the Spirit. This is a player that played through all 8 games and created 24 chances of her own throughout this Challenge Cup, leading Rodman in that area by just 3 in that, but notching an assist, scoring a couple goals. I'm looking for Sanchez to be the breakout player here of the East region. And I'm sure there will be discourse, as there always is. Let us know, of course, as always, what you think about the performances of the Challenge Cup, who you think stood out in the East or the West or the Central, who you think should be on the best 11, who you think is the overall tournament MVP. You know, we always love to hear from you because we always appreciate you for listening to Attacking Third. As always, follow us on TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram at Attacking Third. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere you listen to your podcast shows. We're also available as video. Subscribe to us on YouTube at youtube.com/attackingthird. If you have questions for us, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts with your question, and Lisa and I will answer it during a mailbag segment. And we'll be back on Friday for our regular season weekend preview. For Sandra Herrera and Lisa Roman, this was Attacking Third.
The hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What if it was your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.